Thanks for listening to Benefit from the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's Word for our temporal and eternal benefit. God bless your listening. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, Jesus, when he spoke about heaven, he put people into two categories. You might recall this in Matthew 7, where he talked about one group being the many and the other group being the few. When it comes to the many, those are people who think they are okay with God, but in reality, they are deceived. When it comes to the few, they, by God's grace, are actually on the path leading to heaven. As we think about the many and the few, they're all sinners, so none of them deserve heaven, but there is one important difference between the many and the few. When it comes to the many, they are unrepentant. When it comes to the few, they are repentant. So it might seem like a minor difference, but God wants us to know it makes all the difference in the world. It makes all the difference for eternity. When people are unrepentant, they might be, in fact, very nice people, but the problem is they do not yet know Jesus Christ, and they are mostly living for themselves if you take a look at their lives. When it comes to people who are repentant, what God has done is God has worked within their lives. He has given them a change of heart that has led to a change of attitude. And now as they're going forward in life, we see new actions because of the changes that God has made in heart and attitude. Tonight, as we take a look at Zacchaeus, we're going to see how God made a change of heart and attitude within him, and we're going to see very remarkable repentance coming from Zacchaeus. As we see these things tonight, may God help us to think about our own lives and be blessed by his word. I invite you to follow along with the outline that we have in the service folder. Part one, Zacchaeus was interested in Jesus. We're in Luke chapter 19, picking up in verse 1, and the Bible says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small of stature. What did he do? He ran on ahead and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for Jesus was about to pass that way. Even though Zacchaeus was rich, he was still interested in Jesus. That's an unusual thing. Most people who are rich, like most Americans, basically like us, we are rich Americans too. When people are rich, they have their own money, and whatever they need, they can buy it. So they don't really see a need for God. For people who are very poor, they tend to see a much greater need for God because they don't have what they need themselves. They need to rely on God to give them what they need. For Zacchaeus, so it seems that something was going on in his life. We don't know what it was, but maybe a close relative of Zacchaeus had recently passed away. For example, if we think about Martin Luther, he had a couple friends that died of the Black Plague. Luther said, oh, that could have been me too, and that made him get more serious about the things of God. Or maybe Zacchaeus himself, maybe had some kind of a near-death experience, and that got him thinking in that way. We don't know, but what we do know is that he wanted to see Jesus. Zacchaeus thought things through. So they're in Jericho. They say Jericho is possibly one of the oldest cities in the world. So they're in Jericho, and Jesus is passing through, And there are a lot of people that want to get a glimpse of him. We know the problem with Zacchaeus. He's not very tall. The crowd of people, they are taller. So Zacchaeus was very determined, though. You can imagine him trying to, like, jump up and look over the crowd, and he just can't jump high enough. All these guys like Terry were probably standing in front of him. He didn't have a chance to see. So what he does then is he is so determined. He knows the route Jesus is taking. He thinks about it. Maybe one of his favorite climbing trees is coming up a ways, but he knows he can't walk along with the crowd. He needs to run as fast as he can to get to that tree and climb up that tree, so by the time Jesus comes, he's got a good vantage point to be able to see him. So it wasn't an easy thing, but he was determined to see Jesus. And then Zacchaeus also thought about his own route in life. So he was alive, but he knew at some point death would come for him. And as he thought about it, he knew that his money would not be able to help him when that time came. So he was interested in Jesus. God wants us to think about our lives. I think we're all ready to go through this evening, and we're going to be okay. But are we ready for tomorrow? Are we ready for the next day? Are we ready for that day when we will see Jesus face to face? That day could come at any time, and God wants us to always be ready so that when we put our head on the pillow at night, we can rest in peace, knowing our sins are forgiven, knowing that we are right with God, knowing that when the time comes, He will welcome us home. In the second part, we see that Jesus was interested in Zacchaeus. So pick it up in verse 5, the Bible says, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today.' So he responded to Jesus, he hurried and came down and received him joyfully." I bet that was so unexpected for Zacchaeus. He's hoping to just catch a glimpse of Jesus, and yet for Jesus to identify him and talk to him and want to come to his home, he must have been jumping for joy. Letter A, even though Jesus knew Zacchaeus was a sinner, he was still interested in him. I can almost imagine what Zacchaeus was thinking. He wanted to get a glimpse of Jesus, and if we could have asked Zacchaeus, he would have said, "Yes, I'm interested in seeing him, but he wouldn't know who I am. He wouldn't care about me. He would think I'm just some rotten sinner." So from Zacchaeus' perspective, he's probably thinking, this is all a one-way street. I'm interested in Jesus, but he has no interest in me. But in fact, Jesus, knowing his heart, knowing that he was ready, knowing that the harvest was ready for Zacchaeus, Jesus took special interest in him. Does Jesus want everyone to benefit from the work that he has done? By all means. When we do something for other people, if they don't show up and benefit from what we did, that's a disappointment to us. So Jesus, he lived and suffered and died for everyone. So for everyone who doesn't benefit from what he did, Jesus will be a little bit disappointed. He went through all of that, and yet they're going to miss out on the benefits of what he did. A sad thing for many people, praise God, not true for us. Even though Zacchaeus was not liked by others, Jesus was not ashamed to identify with him. Even though the people looked down on Zacchaeus, labeling him as a big sinner, Jesus loved him, Jesus talked to him, Jesus wanted to come and be with him in his home. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 2 that it is the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. So God was so kind to Zacchaeus, it was unexpected, and God used that to lead him to repentance. Are there people out there that we know that maybe they would expect us to ignore them or be mean to them, and yet if we could be super kind to them, maybe God would use our kindness to lead them to repentance. In the third part, I believe that the people who knew Zacchaeus, they didn't get it. Notice in verse 7, "And when the people of Jericho saw it," in other words, saw Jesus interacting with Zacchaeus, "when they saw it, they all grumbled. They said, 'He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner.'" So let's think about this for a moment. Are all people in the same boat, would you say? Are they all in the same boat? I see a lot of yeses. That's good. In other words, except for Jesus, have all people broken God's laws? Yes, we have. Except for Jesus, is anyone good enough to go into heaven? The answer is no. No one is good enough, so we're all on that same sinking boat. I think when the people looked at Zacchaeus, they knew that he was a lawbreaker. That was pretty obvious, being a chief tax collector. But the problem is, when they looked in the mirror and they saw themselves, they didn't see lawbreakers. He's a bad guy, I'm a good guy. That's what they would have said. So they were deceived. They thought they were okay, and yet they were not. So like Jesus talked about the many and the few, the many would say, "Hey, I think I'm okay." These people in Jericho, they were saying, "Hey, I think I'm okay." But they really didn't get it. In the fourth part, I believe that Zacchaeus did get it. We're going to see by how he repents. Picking up in verse 8, the Bible says, "And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, the half of my goods,'" in other words, my property, my possessions, "I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded," in other words, cheated, "anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." So do you get it? Do you see what's going on here in this account? When people are known to be big sinners, most people tend to write them off by saying, "Oh, see that guy over there? I can tell you right now, heaven is closed for him. See how she lives her life? I'm sure heaven is closed for her. There's no way God would ever let her in." Don't people tend to be that way in life? We tend to think, those people are so bad, they have no chance of going to heaven. But if we say that, though, we're not acknowledging that we're all in the same boat. So what we have to say is, "Hey, he's a really bad sinner. She's a really bad sinner. But the thing is, I'm also a really bad sinner." And then we praise God for having sent his son and all he did to take away his sins, her sins, and my sins. God wants us to know that we all are in desperate need of those blessings. When it came to Zacchaeus, he is the most unlikely candidate for heaven, and yet Jesus said that Zacchaeus is a son of Abraham. What does that mean? Jesus was indicating to us that Zacchaeus had the faith of Abraham. What does that mean? Faith, as we think about spring training going on with baseball, faith is a little bit like a glove that we would catch a ball with. So difficult to catch a ball coming fast without a glove. So what does God do? God gives us the gift of faith. He does that by grace. And with that gift of faith, now we're able to catch the thing we need in order to get to heaven. What is that thing that we need? That is the very righteousness of God. So for Zacchaeus, God gave him the faith, he received the righteousness of God, and he was ready for heaven. God wants us to know that that's needed by all people. It's a gift that God gives. God wants everybody to have it. Oftentimes when it comes to acts of repentance, I think people do many of them, but I think when it comes to the topic of money, though, that can be sometimes the place where we might say the rubber meets the road. So tell me if I'm clapping my hands. How do you know I'm not? Okay, you're not hearing anything. Some people will say, "I'm repentant, I'm repentant, I'm repentant. But the problem is, though, just as there was no sound, so you know I didn't do it, because if I really do it, there's a sound. So when people say they're repentant, if we're not seeing any repentance, that means they're not really repentant. So we see what Zacchaeus did. It was amazing. He was a rich man, and yet he said, Lord, half of what I have, I will give it to the poor. So that could have been a very substantial amount. We don't know. But he was saying, I am so thankful that my sins are forgiven. I am so thankful that heaven is open for me, that I am not only willing to give away half, right then and there, he did it. He didn't have to think about it. He didn't have to say, well, I better read the Bible for a while. I better think about it for a while. I better mature in my faith for a while. No, this is a man who that very day came to faith in Jesus Christ, had Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, and that very day he takes half of all that he has and he gives it to the poor. God wants us to know that we don't have to warm up to something like that. When God makes that change on the inside, that's going to show real quick on the outside. God is calling us to the same kinds of repentance. He wants us to know that there's a huge difference between heaven and hell. There's a huge difference between being repentant and unrepentant. And God loves us so much, we can see it here with the cross, he loves us so much that he wants us to be repentant. He wants us to be with him forever and ever. And when we are repentant, he wants us to know it's a real true thing. Please join me in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, every good and perfect gift comes from you to us. So help us to always receive with thanksgiving, and help us to always honor our Lord Jesus Christ with Bible-agreeing acts of repentance. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, attend with us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our Sunday schedule: service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. This is our Wednesday schedule: services at 11 and 7, free meals at noon and 6. For many other ways to benefit from the Bible, visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.